This past week marked the one-year anniversary of Mother Teresa being canonized. She was declared Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And one of her celebrated quotes about the faith comes to mind after hearing these words. She once said, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." It's clear, it's to the point, it's challenging, and it is also true. So what do we make of Ezekiel? Ezekiel's told that if he does not correct or speak against the wicked person, then he will pay the penalty. For that matter, what do we do with what Jesus says? Not only does he say to challenge people for their sins, but he tells us to keep pushing to a point that we would consider obnoxious. Correct them individually, then in a group, and then publicly in the church. And perhaps most surprising of all, Jesus commands that we basically kick out the people who do not repent, to kick them out of the church and the community. It was what we call excommunication. How is that not judging people? How is that love? Because there are different kinds of judgment. There's the judgment that comes from pride and hatred versus the judgment that comes from love. There's a difference between the judgment of a person's soul and the judgment of that person's action. What the prophet is saying and what Jesus himself teaches is that you must be willing to judge a person's actions when you love them. But the trick remains, how do you love a person and correct them at the same time? Here are a few guidelines. First of all, is the person we're talking about a fellow Christian? We are called to correct our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But when we're dealing with a non-believer, we practice evangelization, which is different. The second thing to consider, are you sure that what they've done is wrong? Is it a sin? Every Catholic has the responsibility to form and shape their conscience, to train your mind to be able to recognize good and evil. This lifelong task is for your own benefit. It also enables you to recognize right and wrong actions in the people you love, in the members of the church, to know the difference between a small sin and a serious one. Because it is pointless to judge a person's every decision. That is not the call. But we can say that the more serious a sin is, the more important it is to challenge them to repent of that sin. Third thing to consider, what is your own motivation? When calling somebody out of their sinfulness, it is easy to fall into a kind of vengeance on our part. Do you actually want them to repent? Or are you just having the satisfaction of proving yourself right and correcting them? Do you love them enough to want them to go to heaven? Are you just annoyed enough to take a shot at them? Jesus is clear that our goal is to win over our brother. So if we can get our own attitude and motivation in line with that, it becomes much easier to be gentle and impartial when we challenge somebody in their sin. And the practical way to develop that kind of motivation is to pray for them, to really spend time seeking God's grace on their behalf. And it's wise even to offer some fasting on their behalf, because if you're willing to spend time and even suffer a little for their benefit, you are more likely to be on their side when you correct them, rather than just becoming another angry accuser. The fourth thing to consider when correcting our brothers and sisters, is it your place to say something? Now, yes, if they offend you directly, you should speak to them as a fellow believer. But are they someone you are responsible for? a child, a student, a godchild. We could add close friends and family members, people we have some kind of close relationship to. Think of the ancient question from Cain and Abel, am I my brother's keeper? And this is why some priests and bishops challenge people so often. We are charged with this responsibility just as the prophets of the Old Testament and in our first reading. And the same penalty applies to us as applied to them. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not attempt to guide the people of St. Peter's away from sin and toward the truth. Always in love and with kindness. But that is the task that Father Blanda and I have, the task that all priests and bishops have. Nonetheless, every Christian bears some responsibility for their fellow believers, especially those who are close to them, those under their care, or in those cases when the Holy Spirit is maybe suggesting to you that it's time for you to say something. And the last thing is to actually follow the process Jesus lays out for us. This is very practical advice. It is tempting to vent our frustrations to our friends, to publicize what someone's done to you. But if we are not careful, that venting becomes gossip. Because it is one thing to seek advice from a trusted spiritual guide or friend, but it's an entirely different thing to angrily tell three people at once how mad you are, what so-and-so did to you. So the first step must be to address them one-on-one with a sense of privacy and respect. Only after that can we have recourse to getting others to weigh in with us, to address them as a group. And only after that is it appropriate to tattle on them, to go up the chain to the church hierarchy. It's wrong to immediately go over the head of a person, to get them in trouble with their superior if you have not taken those first two steps. Now that wisdom applies in the workplace, but especially in the church. Do you immediately go to the priest when you have a problem with a volunteer or a teacher at school or religion classes here? Do you immediately call the bishop if you have a problem with what a priest says or does? That is not Christian, and it's usually counterproductive. The goal is simple: repentance. Each of us must never stop repenting of our own sins and growing in holiness. To proclaim the gospel is to call others to repent of their sin. And if a Catholic refuses to repent, even after we've taken every step and every act of charity, then it is only honesty when we say, you are not in communion with us anymore. Jesus says to treat them as Gentiles and tax collectors. That means we treat them more like people who still need to convert than like brothers and sisters in the Lord. It is still love, but it's closer to love of enemies than love of friends. The prophets and Jesus are clear. Live and let live is not how Christians should treat other Christians. We do not need to nitpick or micromanage. Absolutely not. But serious sins have to be addressed for their own good and for the good of the whole church. Because every sin hurts the whole body of Christ. Now we address them by following the Lord's advice. Is it serious? Do you have the right motive? Do you love the sinner but hate the sin? Are you responsible for or close to this person? Then go to them as a brother or sister in the Lord. And do not rebuke them because you're judging them, but correct them precisely because you have taken the time to love them. And when a fellow Christian comes to you for the same reason, Be open to hearing the voice of the Lord in what they say. Try to hear them even when they say it imperfectly or with less than perfect motives. If today you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.